Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, April 20th, 2017. We'll start with a story titled Hoopston Passes City Budget, written by Carol Hicks in Hoopston. The city budget for 2017-18 was approved 6-0 by council members at Tuesday's meeting. Two aldermen and mayor were absent. Alderman Bill Goodwine was elected mayor pro tem. The budget, according to Goodwine, showed a net income of $2,727,573 with expenses of $2,429,911 minus special reserve accruals of $194,700, leaving a balance of $102,962. Two one-time project proposals, Goodwine said, the storm water retention pond south of Casey's on Illinois Route 1 and a new city hall roof totaled $102,500, leaving the final budget income in the black in the amount of $462. The one item Goodwine wanted the public to be aware of was a $4 increase in the garbage fee was included in the budget this year. Garbage fees increased from $15 to $19 to give an added income of about $100,000. This increase was built into the ordinance regarding garbage fee increases. This income, said Goodwine, would go towards subsidizing the police, fire, and dispatch departments, as well as parks, pool, streets, lights, and other city departments. In other council business, the city council approved 6-0 the resolution to appropriate the sum of $135,000 of motor fuel tax funds to seal Coat, Euclid Avenue, and HMA overlay on First Avenue from Main Street to Penn Street. The cost of the summer road project would include preliminary engineering inspection, and advertising fees. Also approved 6-0 was the resolution authorizing Mayor Bill Krusenberry to execute the contract documents necessary with C2 Engineering to proceed on the sanitary sewer project. Sam Cole, C2 Engineering, said they were working with Vermilion Advantage for an EPA low-interest loan. Could begin as early as this fall and end in the early spring. The total cost of this project is estimated at $567,000. One bid was received for the perpetual care urns of Floral Hill Cemetery. Treasured Roots Flower Shops bid $8,500. The bid was approved 6-0. Alderman Ryan Anderson is now taking 50-50 bids for sidewalk repair from residents with one change. Residents will now prepay for their half of the work. State Senator Tom Bennett will conduct a constituent meeting at 5 p.m. on May 8th in Hoopston City Hall. The next Hoopston City Council meeting will be at 7 p.m. on May 2nd in City Hall at 301 West Main Street. The next story is titled Danville Schools on Lockdown in Danville. City schools were placed on lockdown Wednesday morning for the second time this week following a shots fired incident south of Danville High School. Criminal Investigations Commander Josh Webb said in a press release officers responded around 10:45 a.m. Wednesday to a shots fired incident in the 500 block of Jackson Street. Upon arrival, a witness told police a black man fired a gun into the air and ran southbound from the area, according to the release. Webb said officers checked the area and were unable to locate the suspect. He added no one was hurt and no property was damaged during the incident. As a precaution, District 118 School Administration decided to place Danville High School on lockdown while Danville Police investigated the incident, Webb said. After Danville Police cleared the scene, the lockdown was released. According to a D118 message addressed to parents, the lockdown delayed bus services and kept students from departing at the end of the school day. Although all Danville schools were scheduled for an early dismissal Wednesday for a teacher institute day, school buses were routed back to their schools just before 11 a.m. or so, and students were kept inside. This was a strictly a precautionary measure to ensure student safety, the message stated. Danville police continue their investigation into the incident. No further information was available on Wednesday. About 12:20 p.m. on Tuesday, Danville police responded to a seemingly unrelated shots fired incident in the first block of South State Street, according to police reports available at the Public Safety Building. Commander Webb confirmed via email officers arrested Andrew E. Sanchez in relation to that incident. He was arrested on a preliminary charge of aggravated discharge of a firearm. Anyone who has information regarding these crimes is asked to call Danville Police at 431-2250, or you can call Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 446-TIPS. The next story is Hoopston man arrested for sexual abuse of a minor in Hoopston. A 41-year-old Hoopston man was arrested Sunday on charges of aggravated criminal sex abuse. Arrest records obtained at the Public Safety Building stated Hoopston police arrested Michael E. Pruitt, Jr. on Sunday evening. Court dockets listed his address in the 900 block of East Wyman Avenue, and the date of the offense also occurred on Sunday. Court records stated formal charges were filed Tuesday against him for aggravated criminal sexual abuse to a victim younger than 13 years and predatory criminal sexual assault to a victim younger than 13 years. Pruitt appeared for his arraignment Tuesday before Judge Nancy S. Fahey. He pled not guilty to both charges, and his bond is set at $500,000. As of Wednesday morning, he was still in custody at the Vermilion County Jail. Okay, next story, written by Brendan Dennison, is titled Vacancy Declared on County Board in Danville. Vermilion County Board officials formally declared a vacancy of a seat formerly held by Darren Duncan, who was appointed as the new county treasurer last month. At Tuesday's County Board meeting, Board Chairman Mike Marone said since it was a Republican seat that was vacated, a Republican will be appointed to the position. In a telephone interview, Marone said he expects a replacement should be sworn in by the May Board meeting. He also said members of the Republican Central Committee will meet April 29th, when all of the precinct committeemen will be present to take action as a party on the selection. Also at this County Board meeting, members approved various transportation projects such as resurfacing West Newell Road, transferring resources out of the County Bridge Fund to replace a culvert pipe in Vance Township, and replacing a bridge superstructure on Catlin Homer Road. County Engineer Doug Stasky said at the meeting they had shored the bridge up months ago so truck traffic from a nearby quarry could continue using the bridge. He said the resolution would enable them to take the whole superstructure off the bridge and replace it. In July of 2016, board members approved a $20,000 to $30,000 measure to fund emergency repairs to the bridge. Addressing Moran in a letter, Stasky said at the time the bridge had deteriorated steel beams. Okay, the next story is titled Opportunities Abound, Employers Connect with Job Seekers, written by Carol Roem in Danville, and there's a picture of William Pope of Champaign meeting with Grace Lilly, a human resources specialist, about a job opportunities at McLean during Wednesday's job fair at Danville Area Community College. The parking lots around the Mary Miller Center were full as hundreds of job seekers Wednesday morning arrived at Danville Area Community College's 22nd annual Career Connections Job Fair. Carla Boyd, director of DACC's Career and Employment Services, said she was pleased with the number of businesses and organizations that filled Mary Miller Gymnasium, as well as the number of job seekers. 55 to 60 employers have set up, and it's been a steady stream of people, she said. It's been really good. This year, a business casual dress code was enforced at the job fair after some employers expressed concerns about how some job seekers presented themselves at last year's job fair. Signs were posted on the doors of Mary Miller reminding visitors of the dress code, and a clothing closet of appropriate attire was made available. We've been spot checking and encouraging them to dress nicely, Boyd said. For the most part, people have been okay with it. Grace Lilly, human resources specialist at McLean Midwest, said she was pleased with the number of interested applicants. We're getting a good amount of resumes, and we've already set up interviews, she said. William Pope of Champaign traveled to Danville specifically to attend the job fair. I heard there was a job fair and came here because I'm looking for a job, he said. There is a nice variety of employers. My page just lost, sorry. Anthony Wilder of Oakwood said he is interested in working in communications. He was enthusiastic about some of the possibilities he found at the job fair, such as a 911 dispatcher with one of the law enforcement agencies on hand and as a dispatcher at Tapman's Towing. I am looking for something full-time with good hours, he said. I am seeing a lot of possibilities here. Dion Jones of Danville, who has spent 4 years in the National Guards, enjoyed speaking with Danville Police Sergeant Eric Kaiser about job opportunities with the City of Danville. I'm really trying to get on a police department or Vermilion County Sheriff's Department, Jones said. Stephen Henry of Danville came prepared to the job fair with a folder of resumes. I'm looking for job opportunities, he said. I've been working for 30 years and I'm trying to change with the times. He added that the job fair was a good place for the community to see what is available. It's all under one roof. The occupation fields that were represented at this year's job fair were varied and included manufacturing, healthcare, engineering, accounting, human services, sales, warehousing, security, real estate, telecommunications, public service, insurance, corrections, and office clerical. The job fair also coincided with annual State University Transfer Day. For the eighth year in a row, representatives from several Illinois universities were on hand at the job fair to discuss university transfer options. The opportunity to meet with university representatives was open to everyone but was aimed to DACC students who eventually would transfer to a university. Okay, the next story is Conservation District to host Free Earth Day event. Written by Brendan Dennison in Danville. Saturday afternoon, area parents can visit a local county park and teach their children about protecting the earth all in one trip. The Vermilion County Conservation District will host an Earth Day event from 1 to 4 p.m. on Saturday, where kids of all ages can learn how to be responsible citizens of the planet. The event is free and no registration is required. It will be hosted at the Kennecook Environmental Education Center, located inside the park at 22296 Henning Road. Laura Darling, an environmental educator with the district, said they planned activities that focus on the importance of reducing the amount of trash we use or recycling and reusing trash instead. She added, since it will be open house style, families can plan their visit anytime during the event hours and not have to worry about being on a set schedule. Darlene also said kids can learn about the trees, the plants, the wildlife, and how we're connected to them and how we're all a part of their world as well. We all need to take care of their habitats, the forests, and the wetlands. According to Darlene, their programming will include games and activities such as a scavenger hunt, a painting project, and crafting a seed planter with a used paper towel tube that they can take home. One part of it, she said, will demonstrate how we need to have places set aside to grow plants in, such as a garden to provide a place for flowers for bees and butterflies. Another component will focus on wild animals and ensuring their habitats are protected. Darlene said the event is a good reason to come out to the park, tour the education center, and enjoy a hike for the scavenger hunt. Other lessons will include learning how to reuse drinking containers instead of throwing away plastic water bottles, or even repurposing one as a pencil holder. Hopefully, we shouldn't celebrate Earth Day just once a year, Darlene said. Every day, they can take easy, conscious steps to be responsible citizens of our planet. It's just something we think about every single day. Okay, we'll run through the obituaries. Howard Eugene Shields, 74, passed this life peacefully on April 13, 2017 at IU Methodist Hospital in Indianapolis. A celebration of life will commence at noon on Thursday, April 20th at New Life Church of Faith, 1419 North Bowman Avenue in Danville. Visitation will begin at 11 a.m. until the start of the service. Officiating Reverend MacArthur Pendleton, Intermittent Danville National Cemetery. Leakes & Sons Funeral Home at 304 East Williams Street in Danville is in charge of the arrangements. Robert Lee Kincaid, 89 of Williamsport, Indiana, passed away at 8:17 p.m. on Sunday, April 16th at Parkview Healthcare in Attica, Indiana. Cremation rites will be accorded and a visitation will be held from 11 to 12 p.m. on Friday, April 21st at Chestnut Street Church of Christ in Hoopston. The memorial service will follow the visitation and will begin at 12 p.m. Friday at the church with Pastor John Morris officiating. Burial will follow in Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the Chestnut Street Church of Christ, 709 East Chestnut Street, Hoopston, Illinois, 60942. Robert L. Gustafson, 83, of Danville, passed away at his home on Shake Rag Road on April 17, 2017. The celebration of Bob's life will be held on Saturday, April 22nd at 10:30 a.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Visitation will be from memorials for Bob can be made in his name to the Women's Missionary Fund at Farmers Chapel United Methodist Church. Susan Kim Henderson, 50, of Danville, passed away at 9:05 p.m. on April 15th at Presence United Samaritans Medical Center in Danville. A private family celebration of life will be held at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Pastor Mark Kaiser will officiate. Interment will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Memorials may be made to the Vermilion County DARE Program to South Street. DARE Program, 2 South Street, Danville, Illinois. Kujela Joe Johnson transitioned peacefully at 2:50 a.m. April 16th at Presence Covenant Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of life will commence at 12 noon on Friday, April 21st at New Life Church of Faith, 1419 North Bowman Avenue in Danville. Visitation will begin at 11 a.m. until the start of the service. Officiating Pastor Danny T. Brown, Intermit Spring Hill Cemetery. Condolences at www.leeksandsonsfuneral.com. Philip Dompey Sr., 75, of Westville, passed away Saturday, April 15th at 6 a.m. at Bergen Manor in Olney. A celebration of Philip's life will be held Thursday, April 20th at 2 p.m. at Sunset Urbis Funeral Chapel, 414 South State Street in Westville. Father Timothy Sopp will officiate. He will be laid to rest in St. Peter's and Paul Cemetery in Westville. Military honors will be performed by Westville American Legion Post 51 Honor Guard. Visitation will be from 12 to 2 p.m. prior to the services at the funeral home. Memorials in Philip's name can be made to Toys for Tots or his family. Join them at sunsetfuneralhome.com. Mary Downing, 83, of Potomac, passed away at 7 p.m. on Monday, April 17th at Country Health Care and Rehab in Gifford. A celebration of Mary's life will be held at 10 a.m. on Friday, April 21st at Middle Fork United Methodist Church in Potomac with Pastor George Desmond officiating. Burial will follow the service in Potomac Cemetery. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, April 20th at Blurton Funeral Home in Potomac. Memorials may be made to Middle Fork United Methodist Church or to Country Health Care and Rehab. The family has entrusted Blurton Funeral Home to assist them in honoring Mary's life. Roy D. Ranceville passed away on Thursday, April 13th, surrounded by his family. Homecoming celebration will commence at 12 noon on Saturday, April 13th, at New Life Church of Faith, 1419 North of the Bowman Avenue. Visitation will be at 11 a.m. until time of the service. Officiating Pastor Ken McRae. Interment will be at Spring Hill Cemetery. Leeks and Sons Funeral Home, 304 East William Street, is in charge of the arrangements. Condolences to leeksandsonsfuneral.com. And I'm sorry, that was actually funeral is not the 13th. It's what it's printed on that one, but I've got another paper here, and it's actually April 22nd. Sorry about that. Okay, the next article is titled Event to Display College Express Projects, written by Carol Roem in Danville. High school students from across Danville Area Community College's district who were enrolled in College Express will show off next week what they've worked on this school year. DACC and Vermilion Vocational Education Delivery Systems, known as VVEDS, will present the College Express exhibition from 8:30 to 2 Thursday, April 27th, inside the Bremer Conference Center on DACC's campus. Refreshments will be served. Nick Chatterton, director of VVEDS College Express, said this is the 10th year for the event that highlights projects created by students from all over Vermilion County. This started as a showcase for just graphic design projects, but it has grown from there, he said. The exhibition items are created by students at College Express's computer networking, computer programming, criminal justice, culinary arts, early childhood development, electronics, graphic design, construction, health occupations, horticulture, automotive repair, National Institute for Metalworking Skills, known as NIMS, Project Lead the Way, and welding industrial tech programs. Many of the students' projects are interactive, Chatterton said. The health occupation students will have a hand washing station set up with a blue light to show how many germs are still on the person's hands, he said. The culinary arts students will serve food, and the criminal justice students will cuff and stuff participants. Dana Wheeler, culinary arts instructor, said her students will serve barbecue using the program's new grill. We are going to have barbecue because of the welding class that made the grill. The grill was the welding class's project, she said. Anyone can walk through the exhibit at any time, but if they want to talk with the students, the Danville High School and Middle College students will be at their displays between 8:30 and 10 a.m., and the county students will be at their displays from 12:30 to 2, Chatterton said. The event will showcase the students' work either as individual or as group projects. The students who will participate in the exhibition represent Armstrong Township, Bismarck, Henning, Danville, Georgetown Ridge Farm, Hoopston area, Milford, Oakwood, Salt Fork, and Westville High Schools, and Schlarman Academy. Best in Show awards will be given during both the morning and afternoon sessions, Chatterton said. We will judge the graphic design projects and award first, second, and third place for them. College Express is the career and technical dual credit program for area high school juniors and seniors. Approximately 475 area high school students travel daily to the DACC campus for instruction in one of the 14 career programs. The students receive both high school and college credit for the courses. Our enrollments have been going up, Chatterton said. We've done a really good job of getting the message to the parents and counselors that career and tech education is a valuable commodity. Sometimes a four-year degree doesn't always equate to a job, he said. Kids can get good jobs if they stay the course with vocational education. Most students who enter the program as a junior will graduate from high school with at least 12 college credits earned. The classes, books, and fees are free to the students, but their home high school districts pay the reduced tuition and fees for each student enrolled in the program. In most cases, transportation to the college also is provided by the school. It still doesn't cost College Express students that any money out of pocket, and they can earn a certificate in some of the programs while they're still in high school, he said. Some of the certificates that can be earned include a food handler certificate in the culinary arts program and a certified nurse's assistant certificate. Some certificates are stackable, such as brakes and exhaust in the auto repair program. NIMS offers credentials that are earned incrementally, Chatterton said. Okay, let's see if we can do a couple of sports stories. This one's titled Proof Positive. Dashers claim an FHL title win over River Drivers, written by Chad Dare in Danville. And there is a picture of Dashers forward Andrew Harrison looks to shoot after getting past Berlin River Drivers forward Cameron Dimmitt during Wednesday's Game 5 at the FHL Commissioners' Cup Championship Series at the David S. Palmer Arena. The best season in Danville Dashers history wouldn't quite be the same without the FHL Commissioner's Cup title. Danville, which set a new league record with 129 points, proved beyond any shadow of a doubt that it was the best team in Federal Hockey League. That's pretty good. The Dashers claimed its first ever FHL title with a 4-1 victory over a tough and scrappy Berlin River Drivers in the winner-take-all Game 5 of the Commissioner's Cup Series before 1,154 at the David S. Palmer Arena. Danville won the series 3-2. "Absolutely," said Danville forward Andrew Harrison. "We wanted to prove that the regular season was special, but our goal was the championship all along." And this title had a little extra importance for both Andrew Harrison and his father, Coach Steve Harrison. "This is my first as a head coach," Steve said, who had won multiple titles as a player. It means too much because of the guys in our room and the relationships that I've had with some of these guys for the last 3 years, or just this past year. This was a really special group of guys." But the tears could be seen trickling down Steve Harrison's cheek with Andrew Harrison when Andrew Harrison gave him and his wife, Laura, a big hug after the victory. "It's pretty special to be able to coach your son, and it's especially great to win a championship with him," Steve said. "But it's really the relationship that I've had with all these guys that makes this so special to me. It's been a long year, and we have reached heights that teams haven't reached before. We were able to cap that off tonight." Danville did something in Game 5 that it hadn't done in the previous four meetings with Berlin. The Dashers scored first and held the lead at the first intermission. Daniel Turgeon got things started the right way with a breakaway and score past River Drivers goalie Matt Kaloudis. "We executed our game plan perfectly," said Turgeon. "I think we had a little more intensity than they did tonight. That team battled us, but I think we had a little extra going for us. Playing with a lead is something that Danville did a lot this year, and the Dashers knew exactly what to do. When we scored first, you could feel the energy on the bench jump up," Steve said. "And when we got that second goal in the second period, I had a feeling that we were on our way. We didn't have it clinched at that point because it's a great hockey team we were playing against, and Andre Niek, N-I-E-C's the spelling, did a great job with them. But we've been really good playing with lead this year." That second goal for the Dashers came from Justin Lovick, who also had a couple of big defensive plays to maintain the lead. "That was the great thing about this team. I've asked guys to do some things that they're not normal, that are not normal to them," Steve said, who moved Lovick from a forward position back to the defenseman before Game 4. "I moved a lot of guys around all year, and the guys have all done it, saying we just want to win." While Steve Harrison admitted that he made personal changes during this series and during the season, he said the key to the win was not changing their style. "I'm sure the guys got sick and tired of hearing me say this, but we don't change our philosophy," he said. "We stuck to a system and we never wavered from it. These guys did a fantastic job and they deserve all the accolades they are getting." Forward Garrett Sarges, who had 3 goals and 2 assists in the series, was named MVP of the championship series. The Dashers were less than 20 minutes away from seeing the title go to River Drivers. Berlin had a 2-1 lead in the series and a 1-0 advantage in Game 4, but Danville scored twice in the final 13 minutes to force the fifth and deciding game. "We knew that we had to give it everything we had in that third period," said Turgeon. "We couldn't jump too far ahead, and we just took it one shift at a time. Like Coach says, we didn't change a philosophy, and it paid off for us. I think our win deflated them a little bit." So that'll be it for today on Thursday, April 20th, 2017. I hope you all have a good week, and enjoy that marathon this weekend. And or Ebertfest or whatever you're doing. But anyway, have a good week, and I'll hopefully see you again next week. Thanks. Take care.